The Drop with Frank and Brian is officially brought to you by Switch Suspension. Switch Suspension specializes in all vehicle chassis components. Lift kits, lowering kits, air ride suspension, wheels, tires, steering, and brake upgrades. They use all the best products from the best brands. And these guys are truck guys. You roll into their parking lot at the shop and they all drive custom vehicles. So they use their products that they sell on their own vehicles. So if you guys are looking for anything for your vehicles, whether you're just starting out or you just need some replacement parts or whatever, give them a call or visit their website, switchsuspension.com.
Adjusted?
I think so.
Cool, me too.
Trying to...
I like that shirt.
You like that?
Yeah, that's very cool. That's a at circa 2010?
Yep.
Yeah. Something like that. That's a good one. I want to redo that one as a custom life shirt. It's been on the list of things to do.
You should. That'd
it's
be
a,
cool.
It's a cool one. The bag is interesting to put on shirts because... Like, if you used a piston or you used a wheel or a steering wheel or a motor, like, people know what that is. A bag is very different, and I've been working with some people on some designs, and I've used bags before. I mean, we've used bags on, like, designs for a long, long time. And unless you know exactly what that is, it's kind of weird.
The best one to do it was BioCustoms.
Oh, with the anatomy of the bag?
Yep.
That was pretty cool. But even then, like... If you're not a knowledgeable person about airbags, does that really explain what an airbag is?
I know, but it's just a really good piece of art, you know, like.
Oh, it's cool for sure.
Yeah. So like, it doesn't matter if you don't know what it is because it was not a merch company selling it. It was a suspension shop selling it. So like,
right.
Same with my other buddy has an airbag t-shirt where the airbag is like the focus of the shirt. He hasn't released it yet, but, I think I showed it to you. It's like a,
The food inspired one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's definitely a weird thing, right? Like if you don't know, this is where like when it comes to merch and I was having an issue because people didn't really know what Grindr TV was unless you like followed Grindr TV. Mm-hmm. So I had to come to this realization of if I want to make money, right? Cause I want to do the things that I want to do, but then I also want to make money.
Right.
Well, so that's the end goal. You have to find that happy medium, right? Because if you do too much of what you like, you experience this.
Yeah.
People don't buy it because it's like they don't understand it, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like...
It's interesting you say that because I just had a thought actually yesterday or today about you and Grindr TV and GTV and all this stuff. Like you say that a lot. Like if you don't know what Grindr TV is or GTV is, then you really don't know. And yet... And this is just an observation. Like when you started a TikTok, we started TikToks about the same time. And I'm sitting at like 20 something hundred people. And you're at like over 10,000 followers. And like that's translated into when you started an Instagram, you amassed a following pretty quickly. Like a lot of the times you get in this idea that like a lot of people don't know what it is. But I don't think it matters because like you put out such good content.
Yeah, you know what I mean? There's that part too, but I'm picturing at an event, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like at an event, someone's walking by, because this happens like a lot at like LST, for example, when you have like the lifted truck crowd or this, or whatever, you know, like I'm a mini trucker and I like to make mini truck stuff, but there's only so many mini truck shows a year. There's only so many mini truckers out there. If I want to make more income, you know, I needed to like stretch my legs or whatever. So I'm thinking of the guy that's walking by, looks over and sees something cool that catches his eye and like goes and buys it.
Mm-hmm.
And the average person that goes to a truck show is just a truck guy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, there's like that balance of like making, I don't want to say simple things, but like eye catching things.
You're saying just more, for lack of a better term, like more generic?
More generic, but with your twist on it or my twist on it or whatever, like, I'd look at the skeleton stuff, right?
Yeah.
The people that were buying that at LST, they just were walking by and I was watching them. They were walking by and they would kind of, their eyes would kind of look and they would get locked onto it and come and buy it. And then some people saw it on Instagram, so they came looking for it. But I'm like, I want to find the guy that's just walking by and their eyes wandering and boom, they see it and they're like, I want that. Or they come to a show and they're looking to buy merch and they're like, and then they see that. But then there's like, it's like a percentage thing, right? So I can't do that 100% of the time because I'm just going to make, I don't want to make generic stuff.
Right.
So it's like a, like that balance of like, okay, 60% generic, but also make the generic cool.
I don't think you really really experience that until we go to something like that Carlisle Truck Show or something like that, because every event we go to, we're already known in those places, like like all the shows that we go to, we're already kind of known.
I know, so that, I'm chomping at the bit to like experience that. Like I'm like, not Carlisle's far, I don't even know if I'll ever go to that or whatever, but like at Santa Maria or I don't even know. Just test that. Just test that theory. Just go.
Yeah.
Let's go somewhere where no one knows anything and then see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's, I think it's great. I think it's a cool thing to try out. Yeah. I just, I just had, I thought about that the other day because I was just like, not that, not that I'm sitting there comparing like followings or anything. I just noticed and I was like, you know, it's interesting because like we started TikToks at the exact same time and you've amassed like two or three times the following. But I honestly just think it's the content. Like, I think it's the type of content, you know, my content. And this kind of applies to what you're saying. Like, my content still remains very mini trucker based, you know, doesn't really go out of that. But you do, you know, you feature a lot of different vehicles and, you know,
There's that. And I think there's just sticking to what you do instead of trying to keep up with the Joneses. Mm-hmm. So you have tried to, like, do TikTok trends.
But I like doing those.
I know you'd like doing them.
Uh-huh.
But if you liked doing them, you would do more of them, and you don't do more of them. So, like, if you just stick to what you know, not stick to what you know, but, like, what you've been doing with the reels and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you just, if consistency pays off is kind of what I'm saying. Like, trying trying new things obviously does, too. But so many people try to, like, we talked about this a million times. We talked about this with, like, Chris, is letting the, letting social media dictate what you do.
Uh-huh.
Versus doing what you set out to do.
Yeah.
And what you set out to do was make cool content. And then in turn, people attach themselves to your brand and then buy merch from you.
Right. And I feel like TikTok and Instagram fill two different spaces like that. Like Instagram is definitely, that's what I'm doing. I'm being very consistent. I'm being, which I noticed, like as soon as I started posting more reels and being more consistent, the following went up. Yeah. But TikTok has always remained to me
like a fun platform.
Yeah. Like fun. Yeah. Like I just be like, I don't want to be consistent. And when you say like TikTok trends, like I'm not out there doing TikTok dances. And stuff like that. But when something funny comes along,
if you did that, you'd have 100,000 followers. Oh, yeah. If you had Dwight out there doing TikTok dances on the dirt road with the tractor behind you, I mean, come on.
Oh my gosh, that's a really good idea. But things manifest in my mind differently.
Yeah.
Like I don't sit there and think about like, okay, what do I got to do next to stay relevant? It's just sort of me existing in this social media space and scrolling. And then I come across something, you know, a few times, like it keeps popping up or a sound or like some sort of thing like that. And I'm like, oh man, it'd be really funny just to do it like this. And then I'm like, oh, that's what I'm going to do. And then I just like being goofy, you know?
And that's kind of like, I'm that way, but not in the goofy part way. Mm-hmm. I look at TikTok as just this place to like, if I'm editing and I find something, I go, oh, I'm just going to throw this on TikTok real quick. Like there's not a huge thought process behind it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Where like Instagram, there's a little more thought process behind it. And then YouTube,
it's a little more crafted.
Yeah. And then YouTube is where like 100% goes.
Oh yeah.
It's like 100%, 50%, 10%, I guess that would say like 100% of of YouTube long form. And then the rest is kind of Instagram's a little bit, like you said, it's, you take it a little more serious, but then TikTok is, there's no, it's not a creator platform. It's not like I don't know, like a cinema. I don't want to say cinema cause I don't want to say like cinema, but it's more like. Like, yeah, like a place, there's no rules. There's just,
yeah, there's just, you just throw stuff out there and then just kind of do whatever.
So, yeah, and I'm not the goofy type. Like, I don't want to say you're goofy, but you're more.
Oh, no, I'm goofy. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I'm 100% goofy.
like you're more like a character than you're okay with doing that stuff. And
yeah,
and that's just not me. So I just will just throw, like, I've been throwing like those little, those, you know, those driving by clips or like the other day I threw this truck as it, I just was filming it driving into a show. It was like 6 seconds long.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to see what this does. And it's like just taking off. And it's just like, this is so, so stupid. It makes no sense, man.
It makes no sense at all. So you're working on mini nats right now, huh?
I'm starting. Yeah. I just,
I could tell.
All, yeah. Yeah.
I always tell.
I just got through all the phone footage. Like I took all the phone footage from the trip and put it on the timeline and then stopped. And then now I got to like figure out how to do it.
Nice. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I noticed that on your stories all, and you like posting like little things here and there and sending people stuff. It's cool.
In the chat.
yeah, enjoy it.
It's like, it's takes cool. you back, right? It's like, oh, that was so much fun.
It is. I'm doing LSD right now, and I'm going back and I'm reliving a lot of that stuff. And it's
like when
fun.
You do your, it's like when you do your taxes.
Oh yeah. Dude, no, really. Seriously, yeah. when I'm going through all of, because I should be doing it like every whatever. When I go at the end of the year and I start going through all my statements and I start like adding stuff up and I'm like, oh, I remember that. I remember stopping there. I remember doing that.
I do mine the first weekend of April.
You're just like,
I'll have January and February that I kept track of and then it just fell off for the rest of the year. And
every
like,
year I do that. I'm like, oh, I'm being more proactive. First couple months, like, yeah. And then after a while, it's like, oh.
And right. I got an extension too, so I'm just waiting on that. But like,
oh, nice.
When my tax lady calls me, I think I'm all prepared and then she'll ask me a question. I go, I don't know.
That's funny. Yeah. No, yeah, I do the same thing. But yeah, man, that's great. So how was your last weekend?
It was fun. Yeah, the unfinished business show. So I left my house at 4 o'clock in the morning, got there like 8-ish, 8:30-ish. Will Gerke got there early, helped me set up, and yeah, and then the club came in and we just kinda did the same thing as last year, just
it was the same spot and everything, huh?
Same spot, same exact same booth that I had, you know, the same spot as last year. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was just chill.
That's cool. How many club cars showed up?
Like five.
Five? So we had a little more last year.
Yeah, we had, and we could have easily like next year I want to do something because I don't want to come out that early because in the morning again. So I was talking to Chris who throws the show and he goes, what do you think we could do different? I go, honestly, I said something like Friday night would be fun. Like, even if it's not a sanctioned thing or like an official thing, just like, cause a lot of guys stay up in Marina Valley. So there's like Portillo's right there. Mm-hmm. You could just do like a get together at Portillo's. Nothing.
Are you talking about like Clucks and Trucks?
Clucks and Trucks. Yeah.
Cause we were talking about that last week doing a hot chicken meetup or not last week.
Nothing
or whatever.
Official to where you got to get permission to do anything or whatever. We're going to eat dinner here. If you want to go. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was pretty cool. Or that would be pretty cool. And then, because I didn't get home till 2 in the morning.
You
so
said that. Like, that was almost a 24-hour deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it pretty much was, because 22 hours is basically 24 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
Were you just, like, cooked by the end of it?
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I wasn't tired on the way home. It was weird. I was just kind of like, when you're past tired, like when you've left my house before and you just get into that zone where you're like, I'm not yawning. Mm-hmm. I'm just blasting the music and driving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know that for sure. Did the club win any awards?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Petitioner Brandon won best engine. Will Gerke won a top 30. And I think did Dave win a top 30 or Mike Gallego won a top 30? I don't think Dave won anything. I don't know.
That's cool. And everybody had a good time.
Yep.
That's awesome. Yeah. I had my anniversary weekend that we were talking about.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
Ate a bunch of food and went to 2 Dodger games.
Basically, like that's what we did. Like Angie and I, and you do the same thing. Like we just kind of cruise Instagram and we follow people who do like food stuff. And, you know, I follow this guy, LA food guy, and he just drives around SoCal. It's like really not LA based. It's sort of like anywhere. Actually, I think he's from the Inland Empire. And
oh, really?
Because he does a lot of Inland Empire stuff. Like, and it's funny because a lot of them are like around my sister's house in Rancho Upland area. And so it's pretty cool. So yeah, so we went down Saturday, went to the game, we went down Saturday and we stopped at this chicken spot first. So the first place we stopped.
Yeah, I need to know about this chicken spot.
Yes. Yeah. So it's called Le Coup or Le Coupe. I think it's Le Coup. I don't know. But yeah, it's a spot in like East Hollywood, fried chicken spot, but it's not a hot, they don't advertise it as Nashville hot chicken.
Yeah.
It's just a fried chicken spot.
Yeah.
And so we go in there, anywhere I go, I tend to order just like the, like, what are you known for? Like, give me the number one.
Yeah.
You know, because the number one is like, you know, the Big Mac meal or like the famous star. You know, it's always like the base. I said, well, give me the number one.
You want the base and then you explore later.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's what we did. So we got this chicken sandwich, and this thing was, and we'll throw up photos right here. We should probably write. Remember how we said we were going to write down?
Yeah. Where are we at? We're at 1530. 1530.
Yeah. So this thing comes out and it is like intense. It is like, feels like half a chicken. So it's like this, it's like this long big fillet with these two tiny buns. Like, okay. So we get that. And like I said, they don't advertise themselves as a hot chicken spot. So I, the best way, cause I asked him, I said, so like how hot are we talking here? And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, well, it's like, is the chicken sandwich spicy? And he's like, do you want a spicy? And I'm like, no, I'm just asking.
Yeah.
And he's all, well, you know, we have, it's not really spicy, and we have some like, you can, hot sauces that you can add and stuff. So then I started to realize, like, okay, this is not like Nashville hot chicken. This is,
it's
just
like that chicken spot we went to in Mesa, that Gus's, just a fried chicken spot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so theirs was the best way to describe it, and it sounds kind of weird, but it tasted to me like a teriyaki chicken.
Yeah, that's what you were saying. Yeah.
It was because it was kind of sweet. And it had a little like tiny spice to it, just the way they, you know, they put spices on it and stuff like that. But that was the best way to describe it. But it was delicious. Like it was phenomenal. Like it had the coleslaw on it, had the pickles, like had all the good stuff. So the chicken sandwich was pretty fire. And then they had these things called corn ribs.
Yep.
And then
that's
so
what
basically,
I'm mostly interested in.
And that's, it was basically taking a stalk of corn and then like cutting it into four strips, basically. Yep. And so then they put this like, so imagine a southern take on like Mexican elotes, Mexican street corn. And that's what it was. It had like this like chipotle mayonnaise sauce on it. And it tasted just like an elote, but kind of like a little bit different. And it was really like interesting eating it, like holding it in your hands and like kind of eating it. And it's kind of floppy. And it was just the whole experience was kind of interesting. So those are pretty tasty. And then we finished it off with what I thought was the most interesting thing of the bunch, which was fried chicken puffs, which is fried chicken skin.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I don't know if everybody's the same, but like everybody loves the skin on fried chicken. Like,
yes,
that's the best part, right?
Yeah.
Right. I think we could all agree on that. This was different. Like you would think that like having
was it like,
that
was it like pork skin, like fried pork skin.
It was like a chicharrone.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what it was like. And it had that kind of texture consistency with like a chickeny taste. And it had like its own like a honey mustard type dip. So that was good. That hurt my stomach, though. That hurt my tummy a little bit.
That went over the top, huh?
That went over the top. Like maybe we should have just.
Wasn't the fried corn. It wasn't the fried chicken. It was the...
Is it? No, it's not fried corn. It's probably like boiled. But fried chicken, yeah, with all this sauce on it. And then, so like...
Well, didn't the corn, did the corn have, like, weren't they, didn't have texture on it? Like, wasn't it battered?
No.
Mm-mm. Oh, it wasn't. Oh, okay.
No, that's what I say. Like, it's more like an elote.
Okay, because it looked like from the picture that I saw, it looked like it was like a battered corn, like almost like a Frito.
No, uh-uh. No. So have you ever had an elote before?
Yeah.
Like a Mexican street corn? Yeah. So it's just a boiled corn with like shit on top of it. So then the little funny thing, you know, me being me, you know, a lot of these spots, like you know, you're used to going to like a Jack in the Box and you get a soft drink and then you like, but a lot of these places like this are just like, oh, we don't do that, right? But hey, they don't mind if you bring in, you know, your Stanley or your water bottle in, like everybody had their own water bottle, and I'm like, I'll be back. So I go to the car. Go inside, and it was actually really nice.
Yeah.
I'm just, except for they could have been like, sir, why is it? Because I was drinking like a Michelada type beer. I'm like, sir, why is your water pink?
Yeah, it's pink lemonade.
No, it's pink lemonade. Yeah, leave me alone.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was great. Then we went to the Dodger game, which was awesome. You know, they won, they got a win there. It was a great game, you know, had a lot of fun doing that. It's always a great time. That was our first game of the season. So yeah. it was always really cool. Huh?
They won both games.
Yeah, they won both after getting smoked the night before. So
yeah.
It was nice. By the Rockies. So that was great. And then we just stayed down there. And then we went to the game on Sunday, and on Sunday before the game, the next like kind of like food spot we checked out was this place called Rockin' Egg in Eagle Rock. Eagle Rock is sort of this like little neighborhood between like Pasadena and like Glendale. So it's sort of like nestled in between, and it's a, just like this little tiny community. And that was good. That one was interesting because again, like these like really small, unique spots. They're not like your traditional like a Denny's or something like that. So you rock up in there. It's super tiny. You know, it's kind of like everything's a little more cramped, but the food was like phenomenal. Had just these eggs Benedict with braised like beef. Because like, I don't know if you're familiar with eggs Benedict. It's like a English muffin, piece of ham, poached egg, hollandaise, right? But like, you know, some places mix up the meat, you know, a little bit different. And this one was like a almost reminded me of like a rib roast.
Kinda. Yeah.
Anyway, totally delicious. Totally good. Went to the second game again. They won. It was fun. And then we came home. That was it.
When we go to the game in August, I'm excited. I'm more almost
August or September
excited. I think it's August.
I think it's September.
Yeah, maybe whatever.
I know, whatever.
I'm just as excited to hit up that burger spot.
Yeah, I know.
As the game.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's the name of that place?
I don't know. Because
I couldn't remember. Oh,
I don't know.
But it's like a Keith Lee.
Yeah. He was one of the first, and then all the rest usually will go after him or whatever. But let's see. Smash.
And he claims that's the best burger he's ever had.
He says, yeah. And everyone says, like everyone that's gone.
It looks amazing.
Yeah.
It's like a California style, you know, burger, like Thousand Island
dressing. Yeah, like In-N-Out. Yeah, but that's all Smash Burgers. All Smash Burgers have that same sauce. It's like that Thousand Island type sauce. Even Chili's. We were, the other night we were like, let's go out to dinner. We don't go out to dinner at like a lot. Mm-hmm. And, we were in this area, and, there's all kinds of like strip mall type food stuff, nothing super special, like weren't near downtown or anything. And we're like, you just want to go to Chili's? I'm like, yeah. So we had Smash Burgers at Chili's. Two Smash Burgers, and like it was like $25.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like nowadays it's like the same to do that or go to McDonald's. It's
yeah,
like
Chili's is same. Super cheap, and then free chips and salsa.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's the best.
Easy Street Burgers, I think. Is that what it's called?
Okay.
In Studio City? Let's see.
Okay.
I'm searching right now. Easy Street Burgers. I think that's it.
Yeah, I'm stoked for that. And because it's going to be me, and Angie, you and Chelsea, and Steve and Jamie, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Yeah. And that's the game you're talking about is a Dodgers-Cubs game.
Yep.
So you're Cubs, we're Dodgers.
our just got, man, the last, watching the Cubs the last 3 weeks has not been.
Oh, it's not been fun?
No, they've lost the last five series, and they were tied with the Brewers for first place, and then they were behind two games, and now they're behind five games, and they're sitting at .500. But they almost got beat two nights in a row by the White Sox, which is the worst team in MLB right now.
Like so I said, yeah, well, we just lost a series to the Pirates. I think we got swept, actually. Or we might get swept today. I don't know.
It's so stupid. It's so stupid.
Yeah, I know. Baseball's stupid. Yeah. But it's a lot of fun, man. Being there at the stadium, you know, is an experience by itself. You know, watching the game, it's just so cool. Seeing Shohei Ohtani for the first time live was amazing. That was super cool, even though he didn't do very well. Mookie went 0 for 5. The first day on Saturday.
Jeez, really?
Yeah, 0 for 5. And then the next day comes back, second pitch in, hits a home run. So, like, baseball's
that's
strange.
That's baseball.
Baseball's very strange. Oh, and, like, surprise, it was like, we didn't even know.
Oh, it was bobblehead night, I saw that.
Yeah, we got a bobblehead.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big deal. Like, you know, they do bobblehead nights throughout the year, and I had no idea. And we bought our tickets, and like I'm looking at it, and it's all Tyler Glasnow. He just joined the Dodgers this year, and it's all Glasnow bobblehead night. And I'm like, oh, what the heck? I'm all, is it, it's got to be like a special ticket or something. It was like, no, there's like just bobbleheads. There you go. Here's your bobblehead. So I got, and then the other cool part is was so I got the bobblehead. That was awesome. Super stoked about that. After the game, we're walking back to the car, and like I've said before, we park like outside the stadium in this like kind of down around the about the way, but you have to go through the entrance, the main entrance to Dodger Stadium, and there's a guy there, and he's got all these bobbleheads laid out, and I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. And I'm looking at different ones, and I'm like, oh, I see a Max Muncy. Max Muncy is one of my favorite players. Mm-hmm. And I see a Max Muncy one. I'm like, ooh, that one's pretty cool. I'm like, well, how much for the Max Muncy? And he's like, oh, we're just doing trades today. And I'm all like, oh, for like the Glasnow ones? He's like, yeah, just straight trades. And I'm like, here you go, because I had two. So I said, here you go.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I walk away with two bobbleheads.
Yeah, different ones.
Different ones. Max Muncy and Tyler Glasnow. It was
That's
awesome.
That's freaking cool.
Yeah, it was super cool. And then, yeah, Sunday wasn't anything, though. Sunday was just... whatever.
Just a basic game.
Yeah, just a basic game.
God, imagine if you would have went and they lost two nights to the Pirates in a row.
You mean the Rockies?
No, like if you went to the... were playing the Pirates and they lost to the Pirates.
Oh, I know. That would have sucked.
That would have been terrible.
Yeah, that would have really sucked. I mean, it was the Rockies. That would have been equally as bad or worse, to be honest with you. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It would have been probably worse.
Yeah. Yeah, it was it would have sucked. But no, we're 0 for 2. Or I mean not 0 for 2. We're 2 for 2. Sorry. We're 2 for 2 so far. And we have three more games we're going to go to this season. We have tickets for two more and then the one we're going to go to, so we're going to
hopefully
that
we're going
one.
To a lot of Dodgers games. That one's going to be fun.
It is. It'll be a lot of fun, especially like hanging out with you guys. Steve is going to be so loud.
Oh, I know. It's going to be great.
It's going to baseball game, like it'll be fun with us, you know, because we're all sort of like on the same thing. You know, I've gone with people who are very serious about baseball, you know, that's kind of, you know, different, you know, so it's all different experiences.
It is. Yeah. The last Dodger game I went to was with this guy, Daniel Mejia. He's from Hemet, and he's a very large Mexican guy. Mm-hmm. That is fully tattooed with the LA Dodger tattoo on the back of his head.
Oh, nice.
He looks like a complete like gangster, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But when he's there dancing, like dancing around, doing all this stuff,
awesome.
Getting on camera, doing like it was so much fun.
That's great.
Yeah.
I wanted to go to a Padres game this season with Joey. It just like now since, you know, I don't know if this is like a whatever, but like baseball is trying to like have them play different teams. So, like, you know, a few years ago, we would play, you know, the Padres and the Giants all the time, or in the Diamondbacks. It would just, we'd be playing them a lot because they were in our division. But I guess the MLB has made it so where they kind of like spread it out a little more. So we're playing a bunch of like different teams.
Yeah, but no, they've always played every team at least once or at least twice. They played every team at home and away once because they play the Cubs one uh-huh. time at home at Dodger Stadium.
NL, though. Because they're doing a lot more.
Oh, yeah, NL, AL yeah. Stuff. But they do the AL, they started that about 10 years ago.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, interdivisional game.
Right. Well, I mean, even a couple of years ago, we were playing the Padres quite frequently, and now we're only going to play them two series this year.
Yeah. Oh, they're only playing them two series this year?
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Huh. Like, it used to be a lot more frequent. But yeah. Anyway, so yeah, we were supposed to go down with Joey, and that didn't work out. But that'd
be fun.
I wonder
why they're doing that. Because, like, each division obviously plays the same division the most, but they mm-hmm. play. So the Diamondbacks will play the Cubs twice, one mm-hmm. series at Wrigley and one series at Chase, and same with the Dodgers. They'll play one series in LA and one series in Wrigley.
Mm-hmm.
So they've already played the Wrigley one. So now when we go, it'll be when they come and play when they come out to LA.
Yeah.
But they only play the Padres twice this year.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, well, maybe one more series than that.
Yeah,
but yeah,
bit
not
more
very,
than that.
Not
because
very
they,
frequently.
They play their same division way more than the other divisions.
Yeah.
What's new is like newer, I guess, is the inner. Because I remember back in the day, they didn't play any of American and National League against each other.
Mm-hmm.
It was never. I remember when they started that, it was kind of like, just like when they change any rule, it's like, oh, you're ruining it, and then it's fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's always the case.
Yeah.
That's always the case. But yeah, no, super fun weekend. You had a good weekend. I had a good weekend. I did have FOMO. I did miss out a little bit. And then kind of like a little bit layer of all the rest of it was we almost didn't get tickets for Saturday. So, like there were some circumstances that weren't going to do it. And then Angie's like, well, do you just want to go to the show? And it's like Friday night and I was working on something. I don't know what I was working on, but I was working late printing and I was just like, No, because like then I got to go wash the truck and get it ready and do all this other stuff. And we had, but and it ended up working out when we got the tickets, obviously. But yeah, I definitely felt like, you know, it's like, oh man, everybody's out there having fun, you know, like because like I'm still part of the group text, obviously. So all day Saturday, like, where are we meeting up? What's going on? What time? Where are we at?
Brent came out.
Oh, he did?
Bought his son. His son's 15 now, which is crazy.
Yeah.
He bought his son an S10. It's like extra cab, second gen S10. So he brought it out.
Oh, cool. Is it bagged and stuff?
Yeah, it's bagged, laid out, nice. Chrome wheels. Like, so he's like in line with the club, and then he let his son like drive it in.
Nice.
To the show. And then, it was a lot of fun to see him there.
That's cool.
Hang out with him, yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. Is he kind of getting the itch to? Because he goes through he's those
always,
kind of swings.
He's always had the. He yeah. Gets the, he's actually he's listening to this right now, riding a lawnmower.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's always like, I'm riding the mower.
Oh, that's awesome.
To the podcast. So like, he'll get the itch, and then it'll just go away, and then he'll get it, and he'll go away, and then he'll text me. We have conversations like once a year. He'll just text me. I'll text back, and then that's it, and then it'll continue the next year.
Hey, some relationships are like that, and we've always kind of maintained that, like with the club and stuff. Like that's just the way life works, man. Sometimes you're hot on it, sometimes you got other stuff going on.
Yeah,
yeah, and no, he always has a lot of stuff going on.
Always, yeah. No, it was a lot of fun. So hopefully, I was like, does your son even like the truck? He goes, yeah, he kind of. You know, I'm trying to bring him around to see if he does like it and stuff. Mm-hmm.
But sneaky, like, sneaky, if he doesn't. Brent's got
Brent's got a mini truck.
He's got a mini truck again. That's great. That's so cool. You didn't win anything at the raffle.
No.
Damn it.
Never.
It's like one of the biggest raffles at shows and still nothing.
Nothing. I won at the cancer show last year. I won like some insulation, some sound. Oh,
that's right. Yeah, stuff, yeah, that's right.
And it's still sitting in my garage. And I'm like, man, yeah, I don't win nothing. I think I spent $40. So there was a huge line to get raffle tickets. And me and Eric had $20 from Kim, and I had $40. So we were just going to, and I seen Mike Gaia go in line, and I'm all, hey, get these tickets. Cause when you buy 100 tickets, you get 130 tickets.
Oh, okay. So you, like, oh, there you go.
Yeah. A little, you know, messing with the system a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think anybody
still,
won anything.
And still
I don't think
even, nothing.
I don't think Mike won anything. I don't
That's
think
so funny.
Kim won anything. I didn't win anything.
There's a thing. There's a thing with some people, and some people are the complete opposite. They win.
Yeah, like Brian Ellis from Seductive.
Yeah, that dude always wins.
He wins everything.
Right? Yeah.
I've known people who full air system at our show from Switch that one time.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny. There are always people who just like I knew this dude who basically built a truck. You know,
Adam. That's how Adam back in the day. Adam Sinner bagged his Ranger.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he won a freaking airbag setup or something.
That's funny. And if you go back and listen to the Donald LeBlanc episode, he won a butter drop, and that's how that whole thing got going.
It's essentially gambling.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It is. Yeah. 100%.
That's why I'm real careful about sharing what we give away on Instagram. Like,
oh, I see. In
our
case
giveaway
some,
stuff.
Like,
I stop sharing stuff. Like, I will not share anything that says giveaway or raffle. I'm like too scared that it's going to like.
What are you worried about, the feds?
No, I'm worried about them. Just they'll shut your Instagram off. They'll just turn it off like a light switch. They'll be like, "Oh, you're not doing that's not right." Click, and I will not start one over again. I'll be like, you're well, like "I'm not doing this again." You know what I mean?
Like, that's it.
Yeah, I'm done. You know,
that's funny. I get it. But also, you have a business.
Yours is a creator.
It's creator. Oh,
yeah.
It's a creator account. Okay. Yeah, see, mine is still just a personal thing. Like, I've never... Yeah. I've dabbled in changing. I changed it once before, didn't like it, and just went back.
I changed mine to business, too, and I was like, oh, I'm not... I can't... All this music is stupid, so I changed it.
That's exactly why I was like, nope.
Terrible. Yeah. It's like, no. I was editing a video, speaking of music, the C10 Nationals. C10 Nationals Dallas. I was editing that video, and for that, I have to use Artlist, which is... copyright free music. Mm-hmm. And I was going through it, and I was starting to get angry again. I was like, this music sucks.
Yeah.
This is so, and I got through it, you know what I mean? It's whatever. They're not picky on anything. So, but I'm picky on it, you know,
mm-hmm.
But I'm like, yeah, I just started to get that feeling again. I was like, yeah, this sucks.
And you know what's what I found interesting recently is I mean, I feel the same way, and I'm editing LST right now, but I'm actually now, and this is just a thought that popped into my brain. Since I've been, what did I do? Since I'm being like, not more creative, but have a little more freedom on Instagram using songs that I like, and like, I'm actually not even that upset when it comes to editing LST anymore, because I'm already kind of getting that
outlet
out. Yeah, I'm already like putting that out there. And so now I'm just sort of like, I don't want to say going through the motions, but like now going through this, and it doesn't really bother me. It's just,
that's good.
Because now, like, you know, well, and I'm only editing really the like travel part of it. So the music is sort of just like background, really.
Yeah.
And did a lot of talking in this one.
And that part's fun because you like, you can use a fast paced like song, and Epidemic has really good like punk style songs and stuff. Their library for that is really good.
Yeah.
So like, it's just getting into the show coverage where you have these beats and they're so generic. It pisses me off. It makes me mad.
Yeah.
And then I get like, it. I'll watch, there's only a few good ones. So you'll watch other people's videos and they all use the same one.
Oh yeah. Funny. I know. Oh, I definitely have. I've experienced that. Yeah. I'm actually now to the show coverage, but we've talked before, like this video is going to be different. Like I'm going to cut it not really short, but I'm not going to sit there and have like 100 vehicles in there or something. It's going to be, because like, even when I started, like usually like I'll go into a beat and then as it starts, I want to feature like one thing. Right. And usually I would, and this is maybe not great, but I usually would just start with like the first thing I filmed. But now I'm like, no. I'm going to go through all of this footage and I'm going to pick out what I think.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. Is the baddest stuff there.
Yeah.
And if like some footage doesn't make it in there, and I'm not saying that your truck's not bad, but I just want to take like the nicest things and stick them in there.
There's a way to do it where you can almost have like an outro, and you take the stuff that you didn't use and you can speed through it in an outro and almost like opaque it down and like put your logo over it. And like, or if a shot didn't come out perfect, it's a little shaky, just opaque it down, put your logo over it, you know, thanks to LST. Like there's all these different weird ways that you can,
because
I always like, if I have a lot of footage I didn't use, I feel like it's like
kind of a waste,
almost a waste. But then again, you almost have to get over that too, and just don't, because you don't want to think you have to use everything, because then you're just like, the video is just going to be long and drawn out and kind of boring. But I was going to go back to like when you did, you know, you did one interview at LST, like one profile. If you did 3 or 4 of those at a show, then the music, having a minute and a half of a beat is fine, because it's a minute and a half, and then it gets broken up by dialogue. It's when you get into like 3 and 4 minutes of that of that beat, and it'll make you go crazy, and like I think people will lose interest. But it's like, if you go into a beat and it'll change tempo once in that 1.5 minutes or 2 minutes, then it's good, because then you go into dialogue and it breaks it up that monotony.
Yeah, I'm interested. I still haven't messed around with that footage, but I'm interested to interject that in there, see how it works out.
There's in the Dropbox too, there's like some of your LST stuff that you recorded.
I finally got it.
Okay.
I finally got it because I was like, okay, now it's time. And then I go to download, and it's all 3 months ago, and I'm like, yeah.
I know.
But you know, like, what? It is what it is.
It's editing time. It's hot. It's like there's not much going on.
Exactly.
The next thing that we're doing, I think we're doing together, is not together, but Slow Down. We're going together.
Yeah. I'm gonna sneak a couple things in your booth.
Don't tell Paul. Paul's listening right now. Don't listen, Paul.
Don't listen, Paul.
Paul's the guy, one of the guys that throws it.
Yeah, yeah. And, he's the one who runs the C10 Slow Down account.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always get confused on who's running what, but I finally got it. Yeah, it's him.
Yeah, yeah. Really looking forward to that show. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm gonna take the Tundra out there and drive it out there. It's going to be – well, we're going to – so that's at the end of July. We're going to take it on one long trip. We're going to take it up to the lake in the beginning of July. So that'll be its first, like, long trip, you know.
That'd be nice.
But, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be really cool. It's going to be really cool.
The trip, just like the trip up there. I mean, the actual trip to like the lake is going to be fun and all that stuff. But when you have something like that, almost like the driving up there, you're going to be like, this is,
that's what I'm
this
excited is
part
for.
Of it. It's yeah. like, I'm experiencing this thing that I got. And it's yeah. like all these little doohickeys and like,
I can't wait to like mess stereo. With all of them.
Yeah. 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 Like, yeah, it's going to be fun. That's cool.
I finally have gotten, I took it down, to my sister's a couple times and I'm finally getting the hang of the adaptive cruise control.
Yeah.
Like trusting, which is funny because like I took it down there a couple weeks ago. And was really feeling out the adaptive cruise control, and it's really cool. I got on the freeway, and I didn't press the gas or brake until it's I got so off the freeway. Cool. It's so crazy.
Especially in traffic, it's, like, less stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now Angie doesn't have to be like, every time I pull up to traffic.
God, does she do that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
That's... She's chilled out a little bit over the years, you know? But I still get, like, you know, the arm grab, like...
Like you're going to hit. Well,
no,
to be fair.
To be fair, I hit a lot of things.
I remember that night leaving LST with you and Angie was, we were in the Titan and you were driving and it was after, a long day at LST. And I think you almost got in two accidents on just before the freeway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now if you notice, since then, I'm like very hyper focused every time we leave somewhere now.
Yeah.
I'm like extra focused. But yeah, she is totally valid.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah, that's fine.
But what was interesting was I did that, but then we went down this past weekend, had our getaway weekend, and we drove the Camry. Mm-hmm. And it's like going back in time.
It's like archaic.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's just like, yeah. What is this thing? And yeah. having to use a cruise control there, and the thing is just like ramping up. Like, oh, hold on.
whoa. You're going to forget you're in it one day and just run into the people in front of you?
I thought of that. I'm like, what if I get so used to the Tundra like and all this like stuff, and I get in the Camry, and I'm just like, do-do-do-do-do, and it just annihilates another car.
You just have to buy a new Camry.
There, new Camry. And then you get adaptive cruise control.
Then again. You get adaptive cruise control standard.
Hey, see? It Jeez. All works out.
Yeah. What's another car payment?
Yeah, I know. What's we're already in the mud anyway. So
yeah, just keep going. just dead it all out.
Yeah, I took the Tundra to my mechanic yesterday.
Yeah,
and the 4Runner saga still continues. I'm trying to get him to take care of that. You know,
so what's wrong with it now?
Same thing. It's still the fuel issue.
I thought that was fixed.
No, we're getting there.
Oh, but it worked fine. It worked fine here, right?
It worked fine, but it wasn't. Correct. Like it still has some issues. Anyway, so long story short, I'm trying to get it to the mechanic. So I was happened to be near his shop yesterday, so I dipped in and he's like, oh yeah, you know, we got to figure out. And I said, well, you want to come take a look at my latest terrible financial decision? And then he goes, because I talked to him a lot, and he's all, oh, did you buy your buddy's Tacoma? And I'm like, no, I didn't.
No,
they were talking about Jake's bag Tacoma, yeah. And I was like, no, I didn't get that. And he's like, oh, okay. So, like, it's funny that's the first thing he thought of when
making a terrible financial decision. Yeah, no. Yeah, so they're all terrible financial decisions, but you made a different terrible financial decision.
Right. Yeah. So, the funny thing was, he walked outside and he's all, so what do you mean terrible? He's like, this is the best financial decision you've ever made.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, that kind of makes me feel better.
You didn't buy a Dodge Ram or anything.
I know, right? But I was like, here's my F-150.
Yeah, he's like,
okay.
Yeah,
no. Sorry, F-150 owners.
Yeah,
they're all
hey, what? Hey, Ford. Wait, easy. I made a great one. No, did you see that Tundras are going to have to replace a bunch of the engines in the 22s and 23s?
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that. A bunch of them are grenading. Like engine or something about engine debris or something like that.
Yeah, they forgot to clean some, so it's like they're going to end up having to like replace engines on a lot of it.
I follow That's crazy. I'm in the follow the Tundra subreddit, and everybody's like freaking out right now. They're like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Well, but the thing is like they're so here's an interesting question on that one. So, okay. So they got debris, right? So you go in there, there's a recall on them currently. Are they just replacing the motors in these things? Mm-hmm. Really? So if you have the, it doesn't affect our truck cause it's like the newest date is like April of 23. And older, I think 22, 23s. I don't know until they find something else. But anyway, but I was like, is that the fix? Is like you got to go and get a brand new motor. That's pretty crazy. Imagine if you had a truck and if you had a 22, it's probably got like 25,000 miles on it. You like get a brand new motor. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I'd be stoked. Pretty,
it's crazy. There's that happened to the Titans too. 16 to 18, one of the cylinders had a problem, and a lot of people got new engines.
Wow.
That's cool.
They're still getting new engines because some of those still, those are 100,000 mile warranties. Imagine having 95,000 miles on your truck.
I know. And you get a new engine. That's what I'm talking about, dude. I'd be so stoked.
I would drive my truck down there with 95,000 miles and be like, I hear a rod knock. They're like, we don't hear anything. I'm like, well, you better listen harder because I hear a rod knock.
Right, right. Yeah. Huh. Yeah. See that. That's what I'd be stoked for.
I would not be stoked for, there was a Jeep, the Jeep Grand Cherokee. There was a, it was either on Reddit or TikTok or something. And they had, you know, that's $100,000+ truck. Mm-hmm. They had the body up off the frame.
I saw that. I did see that.
All the interior, that would freak me out having, having a brand new truck and they completely take it all apart.
It's so funny because yesterday, because we were also talking about the recall and stuff like that. And I was like, the only thing that would bug me. Because he said the same thing, like if, like they were having turbo problems with those things too. Yeah. He's like, yeah, you got to separate the body to get to the turbos. And I was like, yeah, man. And he's done. He used to be a Toyota tech, so he's done it before. And he's like, and I'm like, you know, my concern was be they nothing ever goes back together quite like you took it apart. And he's like, nope. He's like, we can't. He's like, you can't get all the clips the same. Yeah. Things are gonna break. Like he's like, it's just not. So like that would be the thing that would bug me. Yeah. It's like they blew apart my truck, you know.
And every time I hear about something like that, I look at the Titan. I'm like, yeah, I'm sticking with you, buddy.
She's all, yeah,
it's,
I know.
It's, Chelsea's been driving it every day because her car's in the shop getting fixed.
Oh, that's so, right. From the little fender bender.
From the little fender bender, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how's the drive? She's like, it's fine.
Sick.
It's like, and I just think about it. I'm like, it's a simple truck. It's got a, there's no turbos. There's no.
It's a motor, a frame, and a body.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah, that's it.
It's it. You know what I mean? And. The only bad thing is, you know, they stop making certain things and doing this and all that. And it's just like, I don't know. I don't know how long. I don't know how long I'm going to hold out. You know what I mean?
I thought you were like, once that motor gets smoked, put in another one.
I 100% keep going. Think that's going to happen.
Why not?
Yeah. And I don't know if the motor will ever get smoked. Like,
exactly.
Who knows?
My mechanic was all like, oh, yeah, so that's cool. So the Titans retired, huh? I was like, no. I said, you're getting that thing in a few months for a whole front end rebuild.
Yeah.
He's all, oh. He's all, you're still getting. I said, yeah, I'm going to take that thing to, like, whatever. I think I said, like, North Carolina. I said, yeah, I'm going to take it across country again soon. Yeah. And he goes, I'm going to turn off my phone. And I was like, yeah. Well, I said, I already have a contingency plan, like, or an escape plan. Like, wherever that thing blows up. See, I'm the opposite. I'm like, whatever that thing blows up, it's like, bye.
I'll fly home, get my truck and trailer, and go get it.
You'll get mine?
And then I'll just have it. I'll give it.
Okay, yeah. How about that? I'll give it to you. Yeah, if it ever blows out, you can have it.
Yeah. Everybody, it's yours. I'm over there putting sugar in the gas tank. I'm unplugging stuff. You're like, what are you doing over there? Nothing. I'm at the 2 in the morning at the hotel with the hood up.
Out front. Yeah, I know. What are you doing? I'm just checking the oil.
Yeah, just unplugging, plug, and you're like, it blew up. I'm like, oh, you better fly home.
Get your sorry about that. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah.
Got me a crew cab now.
All the extra parts you needed.
Yeah,
on exactly. That one. Yep. The only other thing I wanted to talk about, and we kind of talked about a lot before, but I just wanted to get some final thoughts on it, is this guy. I got this guy in the mail.
Oh, yeah, you got it in the mail. How was that going to the mail and getting it?
Okay, that's where we're going to begin. So, you know, I've been hearing a lot of, for our audio listeners, I have the new Mini Truckin' magazine.
Yeah.
It came in the mail. And so that's sort of the first place to start is, I guess, like, a lot of people are still waiting for their issues. And I'll give you like a little bit of little stuff on me, you know. So I don't know if you remember a few weeks back, you're like, yeah, you bought it already, right? I did not do any of that.
I know. I was saying that being funny.
Yeah, I know. Because I didn't do any of that. Because
I was trying to get you to buy. Yeah, yeah.
You know me. So what I did was I went straight to the website and I purchased it. And a week later, it showed up. Yeah. And while there are still a lot of other people who haven't got there, who have got it, who signed up a long time ago.
Yeah.
So I really think that like, that's just like a logistics thing.
I think what people, they're mailing out probably media mail. Mm-hmm. And if you mail something media mail, regardless of where it's going, it usually takes a week to 2 weeks, sometimes longer. Mm-hmm. But the price is cheaper. So people that don't ship a lot of things, there is a thing that USPS offers, which is called media mail. So if you're shipping books or anything like that, like how you used to ship t-shirts.
So I was going to say, I did that for a while. I'm like, oh, how are they going to know? Well, awful.
So if you actually read the really fine print on that, it says USPS reserves the right to see what is actually inside this thing.
Yeah.
And I'm shipping t-shirts in plastic bags, so they're just all floppy.
Yeah.
So like I was doing this for months, and then 1 month I get a bill from USPS saying like, oh yeah, we just billed your account for like, it was like $50 worth of shipping adjustment. I was like, oh, okay, I'm not doing that no more.
Yeah. But yeah, media mail, it doesn't get there super fast. So
yeah, so that's one thing of it. So I think I want to start, and this is, you've already kind of like, unless you want to add more to it, but I'll just sort of start where I want to start on it. It's like I'm going to talk about like the positives of it, which I'll start there. It's great. Like, it's really cool. Like you said, what was that feeling of opening up the mailbox? It was like, I heard other people talking about that. Like, oh my gosh, it was such a nostalgic rush. And I'm a bit of a cynical person. So I'm just like, oh, well, but no, yeah. I opened it up. I was like, whoa. It was like this, like, kind of like, oh my gosh, wow. And, and you know, getting it and pulling it out and holding it. And I was like, yeah, okay. Yeah. I do remember this. And so I looked through it. It's really cool. Like, to have this thing exist is pretty dang cool. Yeah. To have it just disappear and then to now be back and exist is really awesome. the photography is great. I like that. The articles are well written. Everything is cool. Everything is definitely cool on it. What I wanted to do was I wanted to compare it to the old magazine.
Yeah.
So I pulled out an old magazine and I wanted to just like kind of like sit here and objectively look at these two things. So my first question would be like, what, like, I don't want to sound like a dick either. Because I'm not the authority on anything.
Yeah. This is just. Yeah. Well, you're a reader and
I'm a reader consumer, and a person who grew up reading the magazine, who used this as not only as like a piece of media to consume, but as a tool at some.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because I have opinions on it too. And some I keep to myself and some I talk to friends with and some I'll say publicly, but it's, I'm not in a position to like say what to do and what not to do, like how you are, but you're also in a position to have an opinion on it.
This is what it is. It's purely an opinion. So my opinion would be like, what are we trying to do here with this thing? Like, is it purely like a nostalgic piece?
Yeah.
Because if that's it, then cool. Like that, it's great. Or is it going to fill a space that needs to be filled?
Yeah.
You know, is it going to be like how it was before? Like this piece of media that is like a tool for showing you what's going on in the industry. Like it's, you get to see builds that are happening, shows that are going on, what people are doing. You know, like what space is it going to fill nowadays? Yeah,
since it's only the very first issue, it's hard to kind of see what the direction that it's going to go. I hope that it reaches out a little bit more because there are current things that are happening in the mini trucking scene that you might not know about if you're just focusing on the nostalgic part of the mini trucking scene.
That's the point that I'm trying to make. Yeah.
You know what I mean? When we talked about that before, it's like, is this going to be built on nostalgia or current events?
Right.
And okay, that's cool. It's the first issue back. You're celebrating. It's back. Are you going to try to be like the magazine was? Or what are you going to do to captivate a new audience or captivate new readers? Or there's a lot of mini truckers that have became mini truckers and never experienced the magazine.
It's been 10 years.
Yeah. So they've never experienced the magazine. So those people, you have to not cater, but you kind of have to like, remember this isn't just what it was. It's what it is right now and what it's going to be in the future. And that's what mini trucking was. It was like what was happening with, in the industry, in the automotive industry too, like in the, like what trucks are they building now that can be talked about? What is the future of trucks and small trucks and transportation? And then you also have like the mini truckers that aren't necessarily bagged and body drop mini truckers, but they're still mini truckers. Like getting those spaces is what I think needs to be the fresh part about it. And then obviously, you know, everything else, but like, yeah, that's, I'm really interested to see how they go down that path.
And I feel the same way. one thing, one criticism, and this is all constructive criticism, by the way. One criticism that I have with it is, if you look at it, like, the physical, it's physically bigger than the old magazine.
Yeah.
The pages are feel similar, because I noticed, too, that, like, if you remember, like, Mini Truckin', like, earlier, it was, like, 25% color and the rest was black and white. And then I really, so the issue that I have here in my hand is from 2013. I don't know. This is actually kind of funny. Like, I just picked a random one out of my stack, and it was from late 2013, and I'm thumbing through it, and I came across this. It was a Christmas thing, Christmas buying guide, and look who's right there.
Oh yeah,
that's me. I was featured in this
randomly month. Picked it up.
I swear it was completely random. And yeah, and one of our shirts is in there, and KIK is in there, and Drop 'Em Wear is in there. So there's a few, like, clothing companies in
Who
there.
Was the editor in 2013?
That was Mata.
Mata, okay.
Mata.
Mata, Mata, whatever.
Mata, 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 Mata.
Yeah. But it was all color then, though, right?
It was, and that's what I was going to say. Yeah. By this point, and this is 13, so this is less than a year of when the magazine closed its doors. And at that time, it was 100% color front to back. So I started thumbing through them, started, like, looking through them, like, compared the covers. You know, the covers, we can get into, like, the types of trucks that are featured, but right now, just kind of overall looking at it, like, the covers are very similar, the photography is very similar, the layouts are similar, but I feel like, looking at it objectively, the layouts are a little bit better from the original magazine.
Yeah.
And I think that's only because it is born out of a publishing company. Yeah. So you have all of these checks, and so you come from an industry that makes magazines. So you have these, like, checks and balances to say, like, if you lay it out like this, if you use one thing that I noticed is the typeface. The typeface in the new magazine is much bigger. It's, like, bigger, it's bigger spaced out, and it's not like that. And I feel, me personally, I feel that gives it a different feel. It doesn't feel like a piece of, like, media.
Yeah.
It feels like it's got a very zine type feel to it. And like a zine, by that I mean, like, you know, in the 80s, in the 70s, 80s, and early 90s, people used to make, like, fanzines. Mm-hmm. If you followed a band and you really liked the band, or you followed a genre of music, you'd make a magazine. You would gather photos, and you'd write about it, and you put it together. That's how this new Mini Truckin' feels to me.
Yeah.
And like I said, because you have people who are putting it together who have experience in the publishing industry, but did not come from this big publishing conglomerate to have checks and balances to say, like, okay, use this type font, use this type spacing, you know, just use this type of layout. So that's one constructive criticism that I can come up with the whole thing.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, that's one thing I battled with when I had Grindr Magazine, was I didn't know, like fonts and these and certain, like, what to put the text on. You know, when the first Grindr Magazine came out, it had spelling errors in it. I had a guy at Rezzo come up to me on Saturday. We got there on what, Thursday, passed him out Friday. Guy came up to me on Thursday or Saturday. He's like, hey, I found all the spelling errors. Did you want me to tell you how many there are and circle them for you?
I'm like, that's bold, appreciative, but bold.
Appreciative, bold. But I, you know, I'm not like an English major or anything. I didn't know anything about any of that stuff. And then just learning how important it was, like, to have eligible fonts and eligible what was on the background and, like, and all these different things. It was fun to learn. And, and like you said, like, and another thing that we brought up, I don't know if you were about to say this too, was, like, the thick paper versus the thin paper.
That was sort of like, well, I want to just touch on one thing before we kind of move on to that next part. And this is probably my hottest take of all. Okay. So be ready. This feels like the very first Grindr magazine.
Yeah.
It had when I got it and I started feeling it, I'm like, I've felt this before. And then that's what it was. It was the first Grindr magazine, and it has that feel to it, which is not necessarily a bad thing.
There's a reason that the bigger magazines use thinner paper. It's simply shipping costs.
Well, that makes a ton of sense.
It's paper costs and shipping costs, because when you're shipping 25, 35, 45,000 magazines, you know what I mean? And you can save on weight, you know, then it makes a lot of sense. If you're not, the reason we went with thicker paper when we had grinder, and I'm sure the reason that they did is because you're not really dealing with that. You know what I mean?
Right.
When you're with that. So,
do we think thicker paper means higher quality?
I think in our brain it does. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, because it's like more coffee table book ish esque. And I think with them only printing three magazines this year, I think you go overboard versus not, you know what I mean? So it feels more special. It feels like you get more for your money, mm-hmm. you know, with that and stuff. But I think on that, I don't have it mine with me, but is the cover the same weight as the inside of the magazine?
It is
thicker.
No, it's the same weight.
Yeah. So we did like, I think we did 100-pound covers and 80, or we maybe
remember that
110-pound covers and 80-pound insides. But yeah, the insides, it's kind of whatever you want. But I know that they were having problems with the staple bound. Like
that was the other thing. And yeah. that like,
I well, mean, they recognized that right away.
Yeah. They're, and that's a hard, cause I've been kind of like snooping around, like reading Facebook posts and kind of like yeah. getting the pulse of what everybody thinks. Everybody's pretty upset about the cover, but you really super can't get upset about that because like
that's not anyone's fault.
It's not anyone's fault really.
Except the printer
who should have said, hey, known,
yeah, yeah. This many, this staple, this, mm-hmm. that and the other. But I think, yeah, I don't know what they're going to change it to, like probably perfect bound is glue.
Yeah.
So like you remember
like a Maxim magazine
or Street Trucks magazine, they were perfect.
Oh, they were doing that. Oh, okay. Yep.
So, but you know, things get weird, you know, and it's like, if I were to tell myself, if I were to start a magazine now, mm-hmm. I would tell myself it's okay to have thinner paper.
I think so. Because holding these two books, I just feel better holding this one.
Yeah. And that, maybe it's a comfort thing.
Maybe it's a comfort thing. It's a nostalgia thing.
You know what I mean?
Nostalgia thing. But it just...
It feels more like a magazine versus a book.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I don't want to say... Again, I'm not being mean. Yeah. And
here's the thing. These discussions are what people talk about.
And this is what they need to hear. This
well,
is
not... Like, they don't really...
Need, yeah, no, okay. That sounds... Yeah, yeah.
No, but I'm saying like... This is what people talked about when Grindr magazine was out, and they mm-hmm. maybe not told me. You know what I mean? These are just conversations that people
So what
have.
I mean that they wanted that they need to know is like I meant to say they want to know.
Yeah, maybe I mean, they do. Like maybe they want to hear people talking about
right,
it
right.
in a public setting. Cuz you know, there was I know I wouldn't tell people a lot of things that maybe I tell you in private or mm-hmm. that I talk to my buddies in private.
Yeah.
Because that's not it doesn't make anything better.
Right. It's not productive.
It's just my opinion. And, you know, yeah. we all have opinions and they're not right or wrong. They're just us saying yeah. what we want to say. And they don't bring anything to the table.
Right. So then maybe me saying this doesn't bring anything to the table. And it is maybe just an offhanded comment. But I think it's worth saying like what I feel about this. You know, I told you I got a real Grindr TV feel, but I also got like a very like yearbook type feel.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's where I don't want to sound like a jerk, but that's
well, yeah. Just, that's the thing. I don't think what you're saying or what I said before about the nostalgia thing or whatever. I don't think that's being a jerk, and I don't think that's like saying anything negative. I think it's just like because I would say the same thing about the original mini truck, and I had a lot of not gripes about it, but every editor did something different, so. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You had like one editor might have put way too many nice vehicles in there. And then you had one editor not put enough nice vehicles in there. The balance mm-hmm. is real and it's hard because you only have four features every issue. So it's really tough. Like I think as an editor or as a person that runs a magazine, you have to make sure that the features that you're picking not necessarily deserve it, but the readers deserve it. So like,
oh, that's a good way to put it.
You know what I mean? Like, has this truck been featured in a magazine in the past? If the answer is yes to me, I would not put it in the magazine. Because you're only making X amount of magazines. There's only room for X amount of features per year. If this truck was, yeah, I don't know. There's just all these check marks that as an editor, each person is different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but me, I want to find the newest, I want to find the stuff that maybe not, maybe isn't all over social media, which is really hard to find these days, but like reaching out to people all over the states and finding out what they know, where's like, who's building what shops are doing what, you know, like mini truck revival and that show.
Mm-hmm.
If I was to have Mini Truck and Magazine right now, if I was to make Grinder Magazine right now, that would be my main focus. Not main focus, but that would be a high priority because there's trucks there that they're never going to Forbidden Fantasy Show. They're not going to any show that's mini truck related, but they're mini trucks.
But they exist.
It's still mini trucking. Just mm-hmm. because it's not going to Battle in Bama or Mini Truck Nats or Forbidden Fantasy or whatever doesn't mean it's not mini trucking.
Right.
And you bringing those to the table and showing me as a reader, some guy in the Midwest, that there's this Toyota truck out there. I'll give you a great example. At Mini Truck Revival, it was 84 to 88, and the guy made wood.
The red one.
Wood. Yeah, it was red, and he made wood center caps. He made wood visors. He made he made all this stuff because he designed custom furniture. That to me is like super interesting, and that is feature worthy to me to show everyone else that this is something different that you might not see every day.
Right. And also to kind of like dig into your thought more about like, you know, these some builds being all over social media. The magazine has the tools and the know-how to even take those things that everybody has seen and maybe show it in a way that hasn't been shown before. Because yeah, we know these builds exist. Like for example, the Tacoma with the crazy graphics, the green one from Arizona mm-hmm. with all the crazy graphics. Like everybody's seen that, has seen that truck. But to dig way, way into the details and really show it off and put it on a platform to where people can really absorb that, you know, that's another thing.
Yeah.
You know, that could be offered.
Yeah. And show coverage is another thing too. And this is just me again. I'm not criticizing. I'm not doing anything. I'm saying if I personally, Brian Goode, who used to have his own magazine, started mm-hmm. my own magazine again, I would axe show coverage completely.
Mm-hmm.
I would show coverage would go 100% online, and I would merge the online community and the online stuff with mm-hmm. the print stuff, because then it gives you more room in this magazine for, so take that green truck from Aftermath, for example. That truck's got a super cool story because they built it in the garage. His stepdad yeah. painted it. Like instead of doing a 4-page spread, you could do a 8-page spread. And you could really have these cool detailed photos and this cool article, and like Truck Hub Mag or CK Magazine does it really well. Like you could just do different things and bring that magazine to 2024, marry it with the internet, marry it with social media, and then also use social media for like road trips. So like who's coming out for Mini Nats? Mini Trucking Magazine, we're going to Mini Nats. Who's coming out? And assign, like, say, Joey Whippy or Tom is coming from Arizona and they're on a road trip to Mini Nats. Have them submit photos and updates and put that on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Make it special, or find a shop that's working on a mini truck and do live updates, or not live updates, but like updates on social media. Like it's just, that's kind of, it's something that I would really like to do. You know, like bring a magazine back type thing, but I just don't have I probably do have the time for it, but I don't have the energy to do it again.
Right.
So it's cool to see Mini Trucking coming back. And I'm like taking all my ideas in my head that I would have for mine that I've had conjured up for years and years and years. I'm like, mm-hmm. do this. And it's not their job to do what I want. You know right. what I mean? But I'm just like, hey, this is a good idea. Do this. Or go look at over here. Like put your eyeballs in this direction and get take your eyeballs, throw it down over to the Mini Truck Revival show in that scene, find out who's doing stuff and get someone down there to document it, take photos of it, put it in the magazine, and just bring new stuff to everything.
And that exactly, not answers, but that exactly alludes to the very first question I had, is what are we doing here?
Yeah.
And I say that in a very, you know, in jest way.
Yeah.
It's like, that's what I'm saying. Like, what space does this fill? If it's purely a nostalgia thing and it just exists to, you know, give everybody a little shot of nostalgia every few months, then that's fine.
Yeah.
But if it really wants to be something as, if it really just wants to exist as something else, like those are the things that need to be asked. Those are the types of questions that need to be asked and the kind of conversations that kind of need to go on with the people who are putting it together. Yeah. I actually don't know, like I was reading, besides Ballard, I really don't know anybody in this magazine. Like I don't know Logan very well.
I
don't think I've ever met him.
I know of him and I know what he does and all that stuff. And it's just really cool to see him tackling this. You know what I mean?
I think that's the biggest praise that I'm going to give of this whole thing, to do that, to just go, you know what? It's like you did back in, you know, in the early 2000s, you're just like, you know what? I'm going to do this thing.
Yeah.
And you had a whole bunch of trials and tribulations and things you had to learn and hurdles you had to overcome. And I think
$100,000 that I lost
and a lot of money. Yeah. A lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of effort. And that's why I think sifting through all these comments, you know, some people can be a little more harsh than others. I think people need to be like a little understanding, a little patient with all this stuff too. Because a lot of people are like getting pretty upset about stuff. You know, the binding or the time taking to get it, you know, and understandably, that's a perfect opinion to have. You can be upset, but if you really want it to thrive and exist, then you have to have some patience and some understanding and buy their booth and buy their merch.
Like,
yes,
all exactly. this stuff. Like you mm-hmm. said something like interesting, like fill this space, right? Like we all have this thing where we're filling a space, like, mm-hmm. Custom Life fills this space and Grindr TV fills this space and everyone has a space to fill. And if you're doing something, if you've created a Facebook page or you've created an Instagram page or a TikTok page, like you're filling a space. What are you doing to fill that space? Not what is everyone else doing that you're sharing. Mm-hmm. What are you doing to fill that space?
Yeah. That's a very good point.
Yeah. Cause I am going out there and recording stuff and editing it and putting it out there. Mm-hmm. If you're just sharing what I did, that's thank you. You know what I mean? Like, I appreciate mm-hmm. that you're sharing what I did. But if you have a media thing like
that, and that's the difference. Like, there's a difference between one of our friends being like, hey, check out this cool thing my friend made, you know, and then pages and people existing to create a product or media doing that. That's two different things.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all super interesting to watch unfold, and now mm-hmm. being like older and seeing all the like the new things come out. Like, you know, when I started Grindr magazine, there was MySpace. You know what I mean? There was no Instagram.
Yeah,
there was no nothing. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I had a magazine to go out and you know I was flying around to car shows and all that stuff. But now we have like the power of the internet where you have freelancers and you can just reach out. You could literally reach out to a guy in a message on the other side of the world or the other side of the country. And they're doing a good job of that because they've got the guy down in Australia, doing features for him. So it's really cool to see that. And, but again, it just comes down to this, like even like a build for SEMA or a build for a big show. Like if you're going to debut it, if you've already seen it online, and you've already seen the process unfold, when it debuts, it's not really debuting. It's just, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? It's just that it's done now. Mm-hmm. So almost like, is there any trucks out there that haven't been seen?
That'd be very hard to find. That
hard to find, hard to photograph, and then hard mm-hmm. to wait to get into a magazine.
Right.
Cause that's like a big pro. Like, okay, so if I built my truck and didn't tell anyone, and then I shot it, and then I sent it to Mini Truck and as a feature, I'd have to wait for that magazine to come out for me, then me to show my truck. Right, you know what I mean? Right, it's like, there's all these like, is there anything out there? Is there anyone building a mini truck out there right now that's going to be quote unquote magazine worthy that you're willing to not share with the world until it comes out? Like it would be rad if difficult. Mini Truck and Magazine had like that and then at their booth. And I don't know if they did that with that S10. I'm not sure because I'm not familiar mm-hmm. with that S10 because mm-hmm. it was at their booth at Mini Nats. But like, imagine like you were building a Tacoma and you were like in talks with Logan and you're like, okay, we're going to take it to this show and put it in your booth and no one's ever seen it. And it's going to be in the magazine that like everything's new. Like that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen.
That'd be a feat and that'd be a challenge in today's world. That'd be a real big challenge to accomplish.
But that's what I think you need to challenge yourself if you're going to be in this space. Mm-hmm. To be special, you know, to like reach out and find out what's happening. Like, yeah, just challenge yourself. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, it's great. And I'm really looking forward to the next two issues to come out. I'm really looking forward to seeing where it goes and how it all plays out. I'm very interested in the whole thing.
I want to see what their ideas of stuff are. Like, you know, like we're talking about nostalgia and stuff and taking the tidbits from the old magazine. You know, my favorite thing about Mini Trucking was always the editorials.
Me too.
You know, listening to like Finnegan or Mike Self, they always had such good, at not taking away from anyone else, but like it was so fun listening to them talk about things.
One of the funniest stories I have is being very early on in Mini Trucking and just kind of like figuring things out and reading the magazine religiously every month, you know, and reading, especially because like Lance, like I got into Mini Trucking just as Lance was kind of getting out of it. And then like when Finnegan came in, you know, like that kind of era.
Yep.
And I used to read Finnegan's thing every month. And then one night I'm at a cruise night in the OC. And he comes up. Remember that green dually, square body hat? I think it was green. I don't know. So he pulls up this thing. I'm like, oh man, that dually's bad. And then I'm standing there. He pulls up, lays it out, gets out, and I look. I'm like, Mike Finnegan.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, what's up, man? And it was like meeting a celebrity.
Yeah.
And not a celebrity in today's world, because I mean he is a celebrity now.
Now he's a legit celebrity.
But like, you know, back then it was purely through written word.
Yeah.
That I became a fan of this person.
Yeah, because you couldn't constantly see his life unfolding on Instagram.
Exactly. So in that moment, it was like, whoa. Yeah.
Even now, Finnegan, you could message him on Instagram and probably get a message back.
Yeah.
You couldn't do that back then. You just saw this magazine get delivered to your house or at the grocery store. And that feeling is like a celebrity feeling. But now it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now it's not, it's different, you know,
it's way different. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like YouTube. There are YouTubers out there that are now like, they feel like celebrities, you know, I mean, we get it when people come up to the booth and they're just like, I watch you guys all the time. And it's super weird to hear that.
Yeah.
Not weird in a bad way, weird in a good way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so that was special to you. So now what are these guys going to do that's going to be special now?
Right.
Because that is not a thing anymore. That part's not special anymore.
Right.
It's a...
Well, that's what I was saying. And that goes right back to my original question. Like, what's the purpose?
Yeah.
You know? Like, what's the... where? Not necessarily the end goal, but what direction is this thing? And I say we, and I use we as like a, you know, how people say that, like, what are we doing here? You know, like kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's what I mean when I say that. So like, what's the direction that all this is going and what level will it find?
Yeah.
You know, it'll be interesting to find out. And, it'll be also interesting to see the longevity of it, you know, where it goes. But that also really kind of also goes back to what I said about like people being patient and having, you know, being patient and being, and having constructive criticism, having faith in this thing to work. And it takes time and patience. Like, is that going to happen? And you know, where's it going to end up?
And now that Mini Trucking Magazine is a magazine again, being a freelance photographer for the original Mini Trucking and writing articles for it, and then going into like street trucks and trucking, and now like CK and all these other ones. The biggest thing that I see and that I think that people as builders, like as or owners of mini trucks or whatever, if you have a mini truck and it's already been featured in a magazine, don't hound them for another feature. It's that, this is just me talking personally. It's like, it's not a rule. There are like a bunch of these underlying rules that used to be a thing and they've changed over time, but I'm still a little old school with it. If you have a new build, reach out to them and let them know about it and all this stuff, but don't reach out to them and then also try to reach out to street trucks and then also try to do this. Like,
oh, okay.
Pick one and go with that one.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you need. You don't need to hog up all of the magazines. You know what I mean? Like, figure out which one you want to be in and be in that one, because especially with mini trucking and street trucks, they're pretty much the only two that are featuring mini trucks. Street trucks is, I don't know what they're doing now, but let's just say they're doing one a month one an issue. That's 12 trucks being featured a year.
Right.
Now, Mini Trucking has four or three issues this year, four features. That's only 12. 24 mini trucks in 1 year to get featured.
Yeah, that's not a lot.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, you have to make sure you're picking the features that have not been featured before.
Right.
Because you're just now, it's just bumping someone else that, that might not deserve it, but that has never been featured. Like, so, like, reach out to people. Reach out to people in the scene and find out what's being built or what's coming up or what hasn't been featured or what people think they that deserve to get featured and all this. And there's so many factors to it, but, like, as a truck owner, like me building my Tacoma, if I reach out to Mini Truck and ask for, you know, like, hey, this is my truck, or if you're interested in featuring it, I'm done. If they say yes, I'm done reaching out. I'm not going to reach out to street trucks. I'm not going to do that. Like, I'm not going to play like competing. Like, who's going to run my stuff the fastest? No, it's what you want. Stick with it.
And that is like sort of the, that falls on the truck builder, right?
The truck owner builder, whatever. Yeah. It is, you know, like.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I mean.
Yeah. You know, it's just one of those things. Like, don't get too antsy. As long as the editor promised you and you believe what they say, then just be patient. You know, I shot Daniel's C10 for C10 Builders Guide, the one I just threw that reel together yesterday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We shot that. I shot that right the night when I came to your house.
Oh, so that was like back in,
that was last
October.
Year.
October. Yeah. Like October or something like that.
And sometimes it just takes a long time to these magazines to figure out which, you know, his truck, it's a patina. So it might go in like something that really going to focus more on patinas or whatever. So it's just one of those things where you just got to be patient, and that's, people aren't patient these days.
Well, and that's sort of just like the reaction from the social media.
It stuff is. It's nobody's the fault. Gratification. It's not like, yeah, it's not anyone's fault. It's just what we're used to.
Right. Did that problem, it kind of exist back before social media in the magazine world?
No, because you would tell them, you would be like upfront with them. Like, if I'm going to, like, I would find a truck at a show and I would be like, hey, have you ever been shot before? And then if they would say yes, I wouldn't even bother with it. If they would, because that was the rule. If you were shot, if you were ran in trucking, you weren't running in street trucks. Like, there were some that did cross over, but that was the decision of the magazine. And usually it was like inner company crossing over. So like you had one company that owned trucking, mini trucking and sport truck, and then a different company owned street trucks. So there was no competition between mini truck and sport truck and trucking. So sometimes that they would share features and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, if I walk up to a truck and be like, has it ever been shot? Maybe it'd say no. And then I said, has anyone asked to shoot it, or have you promised anyone to shoot it? Because that's another big thing is, you know, if I'm in Texas, I don't shoot in Texas. There's other photographers out there that kind of shoot there. I'm not going to go stomp on their stomping grounds and like try to get a bunch of features.
Right.
So I'll say, have you promised it to anybody? And if they say no, you know, then the conversation just kind of continues. And these are those like underlying...
And that's also that's the responsibility of the magazine and the photographers. So like everybody kind of has their own responsibility in this whole thing to be not necessarily to follow rules, but to coexist together.
Exactly.
Right?
It's a coexisting competition, like a gentleman's type of thing. So like I shot a truck, and I told the owner, this is the magazine I'm shooting it for. You're cool. He's cool. Whatever. And then it ended up coming out in a different magazine and a different photographer shot it because the owner of the truck said it has not been shot for anything.
Oh,
and the one magazine was faster at bringing it out than the other. So now this other magazine has not ran it yet. Don't know if they will or not. So it's not. And so I essentially wasted my time.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
An afternoon and then editing the photos. Now I'm not getting paid for this.
Yeah.
So it's like,
and those are all the little tiny things that are involved in creating this thing.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, one last thing to kind of like sit on, and I've had this thought too. So like, as we talk about Mini Truck and Magazine being back in this first issue and we're having this big discussion about it, there are other magazines that exist as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's Common Treads, there's Asphalt.
Not anymore.
Oh, Common Treads doesn't exist anymore?
No, man. You have not kept up with anything, huh?
I guess not.
Years. It's been years? Well, when was the last time they vended it at Mini Nats?
I know. Now that you say that.
Yeah. And then the other one, what was it?
Asphalt Assault?
No, what was it? Now I'm going to bet. That one's done too. And so there is like local rides. There's the East Coast Magazine, local magazine or whatever. We met them at Mini Nats a couple years ago there in the parking lot. So yes, there are other magazines. I'm not saying that like, because there's even... Shingo in our club runs a magazine in Japan.
That's right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the rules are different here. Here's the difference. The rules are different when it comes to those magazines because they're different. So Shingo has ran trucks that I've shot that have ran in other magazines, but I do not give him the same pictures that ran in the other magazine. Mm-hmm. And say one magazine's waiting to feature it. And Shingo's like, oh, I'll run it too, but different photos. I will not give those photos to him until this other magazine runs it.
I see.
Because, you know, that's just how it goes. There's tons of rules to this thing, and everyone should kind of ask and have a little bit of, you know, I don't want to say common sense, but, you know,
yeah.
It's not like blood in the water. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like.
Well, especially since there are so. And now that I literally just found out that the other ones don't exist, there's not that much competition. There's not that much, like, it would be different if there were like 12 magazines all, yeah, you know, competing, but there's not. So it's a different space. It's a different world or a different
It's a different time. So, yeah. But speaking of, are we done with that? Cause I have something else to say.
I was just kind of wrapping that up. Go ahead.
Oh yeah. Are you done? Are you done? I'm done.
I'm done. Are we done with the episode?
No.
No. We have other stuff to talk about. This is a long one. This is a good one. Yeah.
So, I'm putting this all out here.
Interesting
thing happened. We had a gentleman win. We had our drawing on Monday, and he said, your prizes suck, and I don't want them.
He didn't say that. He simply said that he doesn't need them, and he'd much rather them go to someone who doesn't need them, or in so many words. Actually, no, those are his exact words.
Yeah, yeah. So we have these prizes here from Allen Eds in Escondido.
Uh-huh.
Got a double din, got your backup camera and your speakers.
Yep. We're going to give them away.
We're going to give them away right here on the podcast.
Yeah, so, we're going to give them away again.
Yeah. So if you are watching this teaser, which this teaser will come out Sunday, you have to listen to the podcast. You have to listen to the podcast.
Listen to the podcast tomorrow when it comes out.
Today. We'll tell you who won then. So let's do the drawing.
Yeah, let's do it. You already have it all queued up, ready to go?
Yeah, you're not.
Nice, dude.
And I already took, it was Richard Dunn who won. I took his name out already.
Uh-huh.
So I should record this with my phone, but I'm not.
Yeah, okay. Just shuffle, shuffle, shuffle.
Shuffle, shuffle,
it's shuffle. It's the same names minus the person who declined the prize. Same you names.
I could probably zoom in on this right here if the camera can, but. Yeah, so I'm going to shuffle. Same names. Didn't take any away except for Richard, because if he wins again. All right.
Go. And
Braylon won.
Braylon. Oh, yeah. Our homie Braylon. That's sick. Yeah. Heck yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I even messaged him, and I was like, hey, you might have another chance to win. Cause
really? That's funny. And he won. Yeah. That's won. So cool. Well, congrats, man. That's awesome. He runs a Slam Society, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So he runs a page called Slam Society on Instagram. Go check it out. Really cool page. Yeah. That's great, dude. That's super cool.
This is your stuff.
That's funny Braylon. Thing.
I cut up cardboard boxes and throw them in my trash can all the time.
Yeah.
Going through t-shirt boxes, whatever. And I cut this one up, and I go, as I'm cutting it up, I'm like, why am I doing that? I have to ship these things out.
That's cool. Well, congratulations, man. That was a first. That was the first. The declining of the prize was a first, but it made it more interesting. So
it did.
It was
gave
fun.
Someone a chance. So yeah. So we'll wrap this teaser up. Like, I'll edit the teaser to where like the name almost shows up, and then we'll go, oh, got to watch tomorrow.
Yeah, I like it. So yeah, tune in today. Or something. I don't know. Something like that.
I don't know.
But anyway. But yeah. Yeah. So is that today's episode?
That is. I had some more notes down here.
Well, we need stuff to talk about next week. So
yeah.
The June, July months are a little dry. Let's have some questions. Submit some questions. Go to our Instagram, The Drop of Frank and Brian, all one word. Go there, drop some questions, and we'll do a little Q&A episode like we do. And we'll see you next week, I guess.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, that's it. Bye.
Bye.